The young Jedi fell, her body gripped with convulsions. A strangled cry filled the vivarium.
Interesting, Meishan Quad said, watching the reaction. Do you see, Adeptium, that...
I fail to see what interests you, Master Meishan Quad, a voice said from behind.
Nenyim turned and immediately supplicated. Another master had just entered the vivarium, one so incredibly ancient, the signs of his domain were entirely obscured. Both hands were those of a master. Both of his eyes had been replaced by yellow maits.
Master Yalfath, Meishan Quad said. How good to see you, ancient.
Answer me, Meishan Quad. What so interests you about this creature's agony? She is an infidel and cannot embrace the pain. There is nothing interesting in it.
It is interesting because the provoker spine ray causing her pain has been designed to do so selectively,
Meishan Quad replied.
What we have just seen is a reflex unknown in Yushan Vong. We may now confidently map a part of the human nervous system that has no counterpart in our own.
And this is of what use? Yalfath asked.
We cannot shape what we do not know,
Meishan Quad answered.
This species is new to us.
It strains the protocol, the older master said. What can be discovered that is not codified already?
But, Master,
Nenyim said, supplicating as she did so.
Surely, in a new species...
She broke off when the master flicked the gaze of its maits toward her.
Are all of your adepts so insolent? He asked dryly.
I should hope not,
Meishan Quad said stiffly. Yalfath turned back to Nenyim.
Adept, if knowledge is not to be found in the archives and sacred memories, what then does a shaper do?
Fear glittered in Nenyim's nerves.
We petitioned the Supreme Overlord, Master, that he might ask of the gods.
Correct, Adept. I suspect this is not your fault. It is your own master who uses the Provoker Spine Ray so. You are susceptible to her influences.
Meishan Quad smiled gently.
The Protocol of Tsong specifies the use of the Provoker in just such a manner.
I am aware of that. But you strain the intent of that protocol. Who knows what I might have observed had I arrived a little later?
Are you accusing me of something, Master?
Meishan Quad asked mildly.
If not, one might believe you are merely jealous because Lord Shimra chose Domain Quad for the honor of this shaping.
I accuse you of nothing, nor am I jealous. But dangerous heresies have surfaced in recent years, most often among the Domain Quad. Rest assured, Meishan Quad, I watch.
Anakin and the Yuuzhan Vong sat in a damp cave behind a waterfall. The Yuuzhan Vong had evidently been hiding in the cave, for various of his possessions were already in it. You saved my life, Anakin said reluctantly.
Life is nothing,
Vua Rapung said. Yeah? Then why take the trouble? Vua Rapung's black eyes glimmered murkily.
You, Jedi, you fight your way toward the Shaper compound. Why?
Your people have a friend of mine. I'm going to get her back.
Ah, the female Jedi. You wish to save her life. What a pitiful goal.
Yeah? Well, I didn't ask for your help. You offered it. So explain or kill me. I haven't got time to waste.
Revenge,
Vua Rapung said, his voice low, his eyes slitted.
You need know only this. Your foes are my foes. We will kill together, embrace death together, if such is Yun Yuzhan's wish.
You'll help me rescue Tahiri, Anakin said dubiously.
It's a stupid goal, but finding her will serve my purpose as well.
Anakin searched that black gaze, trying to understand. There was nothing there. Without the Force, how could he hope to comprehend such an alien creature? You say we're going to fight together. Can you tell me how?
The Shapers have planted 5 Domuteks on this moon. That is where your Jedi companion is held.
Anakin let pass the precise definition of Domutek for the moment. Why? What will they do to her?
Who can know the mind of a Shaper?
He said softly.
But you can be sure they will shape.
I don't understand. What is a Shaper?
The Shapers are a caste. The caste nearest the great god, Yun Yuzhan, who shaped the universe from his body. It is they who know the ways of life, who bend it to our needs.
There was a Jedi named Miko Reglia. Your people tried to break his will with a Yamask. They tried to do the same to another Jedi named Worth Skidder. Is that what you think they'll do to Tahiri?
They will not try to break your Jedi. They will remake her.
A chill seeped into Anakin's veins, and he remembered his vision of an older Tahiri. He knew what they would make of her, and they would succeed if Anakin failed.
We should go,
Vua Rapung said. Anakin stood at the crest of the height, where he could see the familiar meander of the Yun River. He'd seen this spot from the air maybe 50 times, and knew it as well as he knew any place. Except that things had changed. The great temple, which had stood for untold thousands of years, watching the passage of the people who built it, of Jedi, dark and brilliant, the destruction of the Death Star, was gone without a trace. In its place, near the river, were 5 spacious compounds formed like many rayed stars. The inner courtyards were open to the sky. 2 seemed to be filled with water, another with a pale yellow fluid. Another had structures in its central space. The 5th was full of coral skippers and larger space-going ships. Vua Rapung, what is this revenge you seek? What has been done to you that would make you turn against your own people? Rapung's eyes hardened.
Do you really not know? Can you really not see? Look at me.
I see your scars fester. You have implants that seem dead or dying. But I don't have the faintest idea what that means.
It does not concern you, Rapung said. Do not presume, infidel.
Fine. Then tell me this plan of yours, the one that will get me to Tahiri.
Follow and see,
Rapung answered. They crouched in a tangle of roots at the water's edge on a tributary of the great river. We're farther away from the Shaper base than we were yesterday, Anakin complained.
Yes, but in the right place now,
Rapung said. Right place for what?
Wait. See.
So Anakin waited, quietly, and found himself gradually mesmerized by the quiet flow of the stream. Something stirred the life of the forest as they smelled and heard something unfamiliar approaching on the river. Are you expecting someone? Anakin asked.
Yes.
Soon, something appeared on the river coming upstream. At first, Anakin thought it was a boat, but reminded himself that if it was a Yuuzhan Vong boat, it was something organic as well. Studying it, he picked out the details that proved him right. Sitting on top of it was a male Anakin could not feel in the Force, but the closer he came, the less he looked like a Yuuzhan Vong. At first, Anakin didn't understand why he got that impression. Then it struck him. The male had no scars or tattoos that Anakin could detect.
Stay hidden,
Rapung said, and stood.
Kayu,
he called. Through the concealing roots, Anakin saw the other man's head snap around in surprise. He uttered a string of words Anakin didn't understand, and Vua Rapung replied in kind. The floater began turning in their direction, and Anakin dug himself lower. The 2 Yuuzhan Vong continued their conversation as the floater drew nearer the shore. Anakin suddenly noticed that the two had stopped talking. Just as he was thinking about taking a look, he heard a loud splash.
"You may come out from cover now, infidel,"
Rapung said in basic. Anakin rose warily from his hiding place. Rapung stood on the floater, alone. "Where did he go?" Anakin asked. Rapung gestured toward the water. "You killed him?"
"A broken neck killed him."
"Who was he?" Anakin asked.
"A shamed one, a person of no consequence."
Anakin persisted. "What was he doing up here?"
"Trawling the stream. It was his usual route. It used to be mine."
"You're an angler?" Anakin said incredulously.
"Among other things. Why so many questions?"
"I'm just trying to understand what happened." The warrior grunted and held his silence for several minutes. Then, reluctantly, he said,
"To find you, I had to disappear. I faked my death out here on the water. I made it appear as if some water beast had eaten me. They gave Keu my route. I will return and tell a story of how I survived, lost on this strange world, until I came across a Van Gogh, pilotless."
"Oh, and they'll let us through the security on the river. But why should they believe that story?"
"They will not care. He was a shamed one. No one will question my story. Now mount the Van Gogh and let us depart."
Nenyim found her master staring into the waters of the succession pool, the heart, lungs, and liver of the Damyutek. A drop of something plunked into the succession pool just below the master's feet. Another followed, and another. When Meijan Quad finally turned, Nenyim saw it was blood drizzling from her nostrils.
"Greetings, adept,"
the master said.
"Master, would you prefer to speak at another time?"
"There will be no better time until my cycle of sacrifice is complete and my Va tumor is removed."
Nenyim glanced around, making certain no one was within hearing.
"It is quite safe here, adept,"
Meijan Quad assured her.
"Speak freely."
"I believe I have finished mapping the Jedi's nervous system and brain structure."
"That is good news. Suppose, just for a moment, that there are no protocols to be followed. In the absence of direction, what would you do, hypothetically?"
"Hypothetically,"
Nenyim said hesitantly,
"I would modify the provoker spine ray to fit our expectations of her nervous system, to give us very fine control."
"Why?"
Nenyim did not hesitate this time. It was already too late, whichever way it went.
"Despite the assurances of the protocol we followed, what we have now is only an educated guess concerning how her nervous system functions. I suggest that we now test those assertions."
"In other words, you would question the protocols given us by the gods?"
"Yes, master."
"And you understand this is heresy of the First Order?"
"I do."
"I have searched for an apprentice like you,"
the Master Shaper finally said.
"I have asked the gods to send you to me. Let us go see our young Jedi, shall we?"
Through the transparent walls of her impenetrable cage, the Jedi watched them come in. Only her green eyes moved, following them closely, like one beast seeking the soft throat of another.
"I would advise you not to attack us with your Jedi tricks,"
Meijan Quad told her.
"The provoker has been told to stimulate you to great agony if we are afflicted in any way."
The Jedi's eyes widened.
"I can understand you," she said.
Then she stopped, looking even more confused.
"I'm not speaking basic. This is..."
"You speak our language now, yes,"
the Master Shaper said.
"If you are to be one of us, you must speak the sacred tongue."
"Be one of you?"
the Jedi sneered. Thanks, but I'd much rather be the slime under a hut. The master's headdress rearranged itself into an expression of mild anger.
Right now, you think you are... what is it? Tahiri?
My name is Tahiri.
Yes, Tahiri, a young Jedi candidate. But soon enough, you will remember. After we've stripped away the false memories and undone the disgusting modifications made to your body, you will remember who you are. You are Reina of Domain Quad. You are one of us. You always have been.
No, I know who my parents were.
You know the lies you were told, the memories you were given. Fear not. We will bring you back.
Anakin and Rapung stood on a landing of sorts, bounded by slightly uneven coral walls. Every 6 meters or so, the walls were marked by ovoids the size of doorways, obvious because of their darker shade.
I see, Anakin said. We're in one of the... what did you call them?
Domutex, said Rapung.
Right. They're shaped like rayed stars, Anakin said. We're at the end of one of the rays. This is one of the compounds filled with water.
Each Damutek has a succession pool. The succession pool is filled from below. Its rooting tubes seek water and minerals. The outflow goes to the river. And that is enough talk.
You're right, Anakin agreed. Let's find Tahiri and get out of here. Rapung glared at him.
It isn't so simple. First we must disguise you. An unbound human walking free? Then we must locate your other Jedi.
I can find her.
I surmised as such, from what I have heard of Jedi. You can sniff each other out at a distance, yes?
Something like that.
Then you will be my hunting Uspek. But not yet. We must first chart the course.
And your revenge? What about that?
When we find the other Jedi... we will find my revenge.
The coldness in Rapung's voice touched a worry in the back of Anakin's mind. Your revenge is not against Tahiri, is it? He asked. Tell me now if it is.
Rapung showed his teeth in grim humor. If I wanted revenge on your Jedi, I need only to let the Shapers have her. Nothing could be worse than to be in Mejan Quad's fingers.
Mejan Quad?
Don't repeat that name!
Rapung snarled. I apologize, Anakin said. What do we do now?
Rapung nodded curtly. Now we make you a slave.
Anakin had thought he'd been through some hard things before, but nothing had prepared him for the ordeal of letting Vua Rapung implant the coral growth on him. It looked exactly like the sickening ulcerous growths he'd seen on more Yuuzhan Vong slaves than he could count.
It is not real, Vua Rapung told him, but you must respond as if it is real. You must follow certain commands. If it tingles, pretend pain and paralysis. If it actually gives you pain, pretend to die.
Got it. So Anakin let the Yuuzhan Vong warrior prick the thing into his flesh, tried not to wince as it rooted. He concentrated on recognizing the first sign, any sign, that his will was being taken from him. When Rapung was done, he felt violated, as if his own flesh had become a hateful thing, but he still felt in control.
Where can I hide my lightsaber? Anakin asked.
Rapung had made him shed his clothes and gear back in the jungle. The broken weapon was the only possession he retained. Rapung hesitated for a moment.
Here, he said, in the far corner of the succession pool. It will be unnoticed in the organic material on the bottom.
Anakin reluctantly followed Rapung's advice. It was a hard thing to watch the lightsaber he had built with his own hands sink into the water. But at the moment, it could only get him caught. Between the river and the Domutek complexes was a shanty town he had observed from the ridge. Unlike the orderly Domutek compounds, the dwellings here seemed placed almost at random. Most of the Yuuzhan Vong he saw were unscarred or had very few scars.
Some had malformed or festering sores like Fu or Rapung, and they wore the same sort of loincloth that Rapung and now Anakin had donned. Of course, it wasn't a cloth at all, but something alive. He also had a Tizo worm secreted in his ear, and the speech of those around him reached him in little starts and flurries. But almost no one was talking. They went about their business quietly, rarely making eye contact. He wasn't the only non-Yuuzhan Vong, either, he saw. There were a fair number of human slaves, all with the coral restraining implants. Their expressions he readily recognized. They ranged from utter hopelessness to mere misery.
"Yo!"
a voice called from behind. Rapung turned at it, and Anakin shambled around more slowly, trying to keep the expression of the humans he had seen. The Yuuzhan Vong who had addressed them was a warrior, the first Anakin had seen here. The warrior twitched when he saw Rapung's face, and for a brief moment he looked almost as if he were about to bow. Then his eyes turned to obsidian.
"It is you. You have returned."
"I have," Rapung answered.
"Many thought you had fled your shame. Many were glad not to have to look upon it."
"The gods know no shame is on me," Rapung answered.
"Your flesh says otherwise,"
the warrior answered.
"So it may be," Rapung replied.
"The slave, why does it accompany you?" "I found it wandering aimless, Hul Rapung. I take it to my executor for assignment." "Go then."
As soon as the warrior was out of earshot, Anakin said, "Fuwa Rapung, you are a shamed one." Rapung looked briefly around, grabbed Anakin's arm, and propelled him into the nearest structure.
"You must act like a slave and hold your tongue," Rapung snapped.
"If you want me to keep quiet, then make it so I'm not surprised every 10 seconds. Rapung clenched and unclenched his fists several times.
"I must act the part of a shamed one. I am not."
"First of all, what is a shamed one? And don't give me that they aren't worth speaking of, father."
"They aren't," Rapung began, then stopped. He closed his eyes. "Shamed ones are cursed by the gods. Their bodies reject proper scarring. They do not heal well. The implants of utility and rank that set us apart as castes and individuals are rejected by their feeble bodies. They are useless."
"I was a great warrior," Rapung said. "A commander. None doubted my ability. And then one day, my body betrayed me."
He started pacing suddenly, slamming his palms on the coral, cutting them.
"But it was not the gods. I know who did it. I know why. And she shall pay."
"The female whose name you told me not to repeat again."
"Yes. She is a shaper. I was a warrior. Our love was forbidden. We both knew it. For a time, neither of us cared. We believed that Yun Tixin and Yun Ka had taken pity on us, dared the wrath of Yun Yuuzhan, and given us a special dispensation. Such things have happened before."
His lip curled.
"It did not happen with us. We were wrong."
"And you broke it off?"
"Yes. Love is a madness. When my sanity began to return, I knew that I could not violate the will of the gods. I told her so."
"And she didn't like that?"
Rapung snorted. "She blasphemed. She said there were no gods, that belief in them was superstition, that we are free to do whatever we dare, so long as we are strong."
His eyes turned away from Anakin.
"She feared I would denounce her, or that one day our forbidden trysting would come to the attention of her superiors. She is ambitious, Meishan Quad. She is spiteful. She made me appear shamed, because she knew no one would credit my words then, that anything I said would be taken as the ravings of a lunatic."
"And she's the one you want to kill?"
"Kill?"
Rapung's eyes widened. Then he spat.
"I would not give her the honor."
"One more question. The warrior we just met, part of your name is the same as his."
"As it should be. He is a sibling of my crash.
Your brother? Lufeng inclined his head slightly in the affirmative.
We go to the executor now. Play your part. Do not falter. Use your powers to locate to the nearest point where the other Jedi is. I will see you in 7 days or so. Until then, we will not speak another word. Now come.
Together, they walked toward the largest building, unnoticeable among the other slaves and chained ones. Or so Anakin hoped. A spike of pain drove through Anakin's forehead, so unexpected and strange that his legs buckled and he fell to his knees on the black jungle soil, grasping for the wound in his forehead. It felt as if it had been gashed from his hairline to the bridge of his nose. The blood stung his eyes and brimmed his nostrils. But when he brought his hands down, they were clean. Chapped, blistered, and friction-burned from days of pulling tough weeds from the soil, but not bloody.
You, slave!
The Tizo worm chittered in his ear, apparently translating the brutal shout from one of the guards. The coral growth on his neck gave him a faint shock, and he knew he was being given the force of command. He went rigid and fell to the ground, jerking spasmodically. It was easy, given the agony already creeping into his head. When he thought he'd played that role long enough, he climbed to his knees and went back to work, knotting his chapped raw hands around plants and uprooting them. The pain reverberated behind his eyes, fading a bit, and he began to pick out details through the static. Not his forehead, not his blood, not his senses. It was Tahiri who had been cut, scarred like a Yuuzhan Vong. If only his lightsaber was working.
Slave!
An amphistaff lashed lightly across his back. Anakin stood compliant, arms at his side.
Go with this shamed one,
the guard told him. He then turned to the person indicated, a young female with no obvious scars.
Go to the third lambent field. Show him how to harvest.
I will need more than one faltering slave to make my quota, she said.
You feel it is your place to argue with me?
The warrior snapped. She narrowed her eyes but did not reply. Instead, she beckoned Anakin.
Come along, slave.
He followed her, trying to reestablish contact with Tahiri. She was still alive, he could get that much, but more distant than the stars. Almost as if she was fighting contact.
What's your name, slave?
The woman asked. It so shocked Anakin that his step actually faltered.
Well?
My name is Bail Lars, he replied.
My name is Uno.
She pointed ahead to a low coral wall.
They are just past there.
What is a lambent?
Another moment, and you shall hear them.
Here? He asked. But suddenly he did hear a faint, buzzing rattle. And yet this didn't come from the Force. Not exactly. They rounded the wall. Beyond was a field. Spaced perhaps a meter apart, grew plants that resembled a sort of hairy, blood-red bloom. The blooms were roughly the size of his fist, and it was from these that the telepathic murmur seemed to come. What do I do? Anakin asked.
You will follow me. I will stroke the down from the blossoms, like so.
Almost tenderly, she rubbed away the red, hair-like petals until all that remained was a yellowish bulb.
This attunes it. Once that is done, you must harvest it. That is more difficult. Hold still, please.
She withdrew something curved and black from a pouch in her garment.
Place it on your thumb.
He looked at it. It resembled a spur, about 8 centimeters long. It looked very sharp. It was hollow, and when he slipped his thumb into the hollow, he winced as what felt like many small teeth bit into him. Anakin held up his newly spurred thumb and looked at it.
Don't get airs, she said. It's not a real implant. It's not permanent. And in case you're getting any unslave-like ideas...
She took his wrist and jabbed her palm at the sharp tip of the spur. It immediately went flaccid.
Now, take your spur and split the lambent casing at the top. Go ahead.
He knelt by the plant and pressed the sharp tip into the yellow bulb. It split, and a pale, milky substance oozed out. When he had scored three sides, he managed to peel the skin away. The entire time he did this, he was acutely aware of the thing's telepathic voice, a quiet peeping, somehow different from its companions, probably because of Unu's attunement of it. The big surprise was the inside. When he had cut it free, Anakin held it up, fascinated. It looked very much like a gem of some sort. "What is it?" he asked.
"Later. When you have a rhythm, and I am certain you are not losing ground, then we will try talking. Not before."
Anakin eventually caught the rhythm of the work, but it was only after he was far behind Unu. The lambents distracted him. They could tickle his mind, and he could touch them, but not through the force, not in the conventional sense. Unu was doing something to them. They changed as she stroked them, became more distant to Anakin. Was she bonding them to herself? Could Anakin bond with one? Were they what they looked like and felt like? They couldn't be exactly, of course, because they were alive, but still.
"Here,"
she said a bit gruffly, holding out something in her hand. A wisp of phosphorescence appeared in her palm and quickly sharpened into a substantial light. As it fleshed out, Anakin could see that it was a lambent crystal, like the ones he had been harvesting. "You control the brightness with your mind," Anakin guessed. She nodded.
"Yes, we use these as portable light sources. They can also be configured with photosensitive biots to form the controls of various superorganisms, especially of the space-going sort."
She closed her hand on the gem-like organism.
"What is that expression on your face?"
Anakin realized suddenly that he was grinning from ear to ear.
"Nothing," he said. "It's just amazing, I suppose."
That night, Anakin crept from the slave quarters. By the light of the orange gas giant, he knelt in the lambent field. Then, hardly daring to breathe, he reached for a swollen blossom and began to stroke exactly as he had seen Unu do hundreds of times. The petals were as soft as silk, rubbing easily from his fingers, and Anakin felt a faint touch, like an electrical shock traveling up his arm. As he stroked, the feeling deepened, and finally, he felt not just his fingers rubbing the flower, but also the blossom being rubbed. He was the lambent for a moment, and not only felt it wakening, but felt himself awakened. Producing his spurred thumb, he cut into the plant and stripped away the husk until he had the gem inside. He gripped it tight in his fingers, and almost without him asking it, it flared into gentle radiance.
"Yes," he hissed.
He willed it dark, then went back across the fields and through the compound houses. He kept going until he reached the edge of the star-shaped compound where he and Rapung had first arrived. He slipped within. The pool shone with a gentle phosphorescence. Anakin felt with the force, hoping desperately his lightsaber was still there, where he had placed it days before. He could sense it in the force, but as if through a cloud. It took longer than it should have, but at last he had it in his mind, wavering like a mirage. But there he exerted his will, and his lightsaber shifted, moved, broke the surface, and came to rest in his hand. Triumph was a supernova inside of Anakin. He had what he needed now. The supernova cooled a little as he left the Damutek and padded back into the village of the Shamed Ones. He needed more than the lambent and the lightsaber. He needed time and solitude. And he couldn't wait for Vua Rapung any longer. He needed to hide somewhere. But where? Puzzling over that, he ran headlong into someone. A Yuuzhan Vong cursed, and a strong hand knotted in his hair. Startled, Anakin dropped both his lightsaber and the lambent, which flared into sudden light. In the illumination, a mutilated face stared down at him.
"Buarapung," he gasped.
"Yes," the other growled. "Quiet that lambent."
"Let go of me, then."
The Yuuzhan Vong did so, and Anakin dropped to one knee, retrieving both items.
"Be still," he thought at the lambent, picturing it dark.
The light paled and vanished.
"We must act now," Rapung said shortly. "Tonight or never."
"We can't," Anakin said. "There's something I still have to do."
Rapung cocked his head.
"You have the weapon?"
"It doesn't work, but I can fix it with the lambent."
"Do so then, and hurry."
"Even if I hurry, it could take a day or two."
"We cannot hide for 2 days here. And if we go beyond the perimeter, we will never come back in."
"Listen, the temple that was here, the one built of stone, how was it destroyed?"
"What?" "A Damutek was landed on it. Its substance was dissolved and used to nourish the coral."
"But did they fill in the caverns below it?"
"Caverns?"
"Yes," Anakin said excitedly. "If they just flattened the temple with one of these Damuteks, the caverns underneath might still be there. Didn't you say the Damuteks drive down roots or something for water and minerals?"
Rapung swore.
"Of course," he said. "If there are indeed caverns of size below, and if the gods are with us. But of course they are. I am Vua Rapung."
Adept Ninyim?
Ninyim searched the darkened laboratory grotto for the sound of her name and found it coming from a young male with the forehead marks of Domain Kell. He lacked a shaper's hands, which placed him below her in rank.
"You have my name, initiate," she said, letting a bit of irritation show, "and my attention." "My name is Tsun," he said. "I have been assigned by Master Meijan Quad to aid you today in our glorious work."
Ninyim braided tendrils in skepticism.
"The master said nothing of assistance," she noted. "She was to meet me here herself." "Meijan Quad sent me, adept, to explain that she will meditate today rather than labor. Her Va tumor is to be removed next cycle, and she wishes these last periods to contemplate her pain."
"I see. Your message is delivered, but how am I to recognize her authority in it?"
"I was once a close companion to a friend of yours," said Tsun. "His name was Yakun."
"Yakun?" she said, as if just remembering that there was such a name.
"We shall not speak of him, for he is a heretic."
She kept her tongue and the tentacles of her headdress as still as unliving stone. But she remembered hearing news of Yakun's accusation and sacrifice. She remembered private forbidden moments with him before, and her vain prayers to Yun Tixin and Yun Ka to protect him. Perhaps Sun understood her posture, or her headdress betrayed her, for through the sudden renewal of pain behind her eyes, she saw he knew. And Ninyim understood.
"Meijan Quad must have sent Tsun," she thought. "This is her message. I am to trust him. Yakun was a heretic. My master is a heretic. So is Tsun." "Initiate Tsun," she said firmly. "Let me show you our work."
The Jedi's eyes had lost much of their focus. She no longer glared like a predatory beast. Instead, she stared for long hours at nothing, a look of puzzlement on her face.
"She seems stunned," Tsun noticed.
Ninyim signaled the vivarium to become opaque to sound.
"She can hear us, and she knows the tongue of the gods. Even in that state, she might remember anything we say, or nothing."
"She is being drugged?"
"Not precisely. We are altering her memories."
"Ah," Tsun said knowingly.
"The protocol of Ka."
"No," Ninyim corrected. "Not exactly. That protocol was ineffective on her human brain." Nen-Yim squatted near the vivarium membrane, opened it again to sound, and spoke to the Jedi.
"What is your name?" she asked.
The Jedi didn't react. With a sigh, Nen-Yim stimulated a minor pain center and cortical nerve with the provoker spine ray. What would have once made the young Jedi shriek in agony only cycles before now merely made her flutter her eyes and frown.
"Yes, Adept," the Jedi said, as if waking reluctantly from a dream. "What is your name?"
Nen-Yim asked.
"My name?"
"Yes."
"My name is..."
Her teeth clenched and her face went white. Then, as if in sudden remembrance, the Jedi's face cleared.
"My name is Reena Quad," she said.
"Very good, Reena," Nen-Yim said.
"I see now," Tsun said. "You trellis her thoughts. Unwanted responses bring pain. Desired ones do not."
"No," Nen-Yim replied. "That name came from an implanted memory."
"But you just said that the protocol of Ka was ineffective."
"Yes, but we can build a kind of Ka cell using her own human brain cells."
A look of sheer delight crossed the initiate's face.
"So it is true,"
he whispered.
"Here, you pursue our dream, the super protocol. The methods of finding new knowledge without asking the gods."
Nen-Yim felt infected by his joy, but she drew her tentacles into a mild astonishment.
"Here, in these chambers of the Master, such things may be spoken in security," she cautioned. "But outside of this room, have a care."
"Yes, of course. I know what happens to heretics, as well as you."
The Domutech route was a hollow tube, and when Anakin and Vua Rapung entered it, it was almost a meter in diameter. Close, but not claustrophobic. As soon as it sensed their presence, it constricted, hugging the contours of their bodies with insistent strength. It felt like trying to crawl up the esophagus of a snake intent on swallowing. How long would the Nulleth breather shoved down his windpipe continue to work? Fighting a nattering little panic, Anakin continued dragging himself forward. He thought of sunlight, wind, infinite space. He thought of Tahiri. An image of her prison had assembled itself in his mind. A small chamber divided from a larger one by a thin but unbreakable membrane. Several other cells like the one she was in were visible, but these were empty and dark, presumably waiting for more young Jedi captives. He was certain that Tahiri was in a great deal of confusion. Not only did she not respond to his touch, she sometimes didn't even recognize it. Anakin thought he'd been happy just to leave the tube. Pulling himself onto damp stone and yanking the Nulleth from his mouth was infinitely better. He sat there, gasping and wet, as Vua Rapung climbed out of the water behind him.
"I hope this was worth it," Rapung growled.
"It will be."
"Heal your weapon so we can leave this skulking pit."
Disappointment edged at Anakin, but he fought it back. He could feel the lambent, but not in the force, not the way he could feel everything else about his weapon. Everything was in place, fitted, ready to work. But the real moment a lightsaber became a Jedi's weapon was when the first amperes of power trickled through it, when each piece became a part of the other and a part of the Jedi building it. But the lambent was resisting that. And time was passing, each moment bringing Tahiri closer to something terrible. "Concentrate," he thought. "There is no try." But there was failure, especially here. Master Yoda's words, his entire philosophy, required the presence of the Force in everything. But the Force wasn't in the Yuuzhan Vong. It wasn't in their biotech. They could be fought only indirectly, with things that could be sensed in the Force. Something slapped him then,
something that had been cocking its hand back for a long time. Master Yoda was wrong. If the Jedi stood for nothing but seeking balance in the Force, then he had no business fighting the Yuuzhan Vong. Oh, he could rescue Tahiri. After all, preventing her from becoming a dark Jedi was at the core of the philosophy. But were the actions of the Yuuzhan Vong, however bad or evil they seemed, in and of themselves worth opposing, if they had no effect on the Force? To be sure, the aliens were killing people, which always disturbed the Force. But did it unbalance it? The Yuuzhan Vong weren't gathering dark energy about themselves. If anyone ran the risk of doing that, it was Jedi like Kip, and maybe even himself. All their efforts were predicated on the certainty that the Force was in everything. And it wasn't. And while the facts of the matter were staring them all in the face, no Jedi had had the guts to confront the new reality. No, it wasn't right for the Yuuzhan Vong to kill whole planets. It wasn't right for them to enslave people. Those actions were evil, and they had to be fought. But if the Force did not draw that line and set great dark side alarms wailing, then maybe Anakin didn't serve the Force. Or to put it more precisely, he served something more fundamental than the Force, something of which the Force was a manifestation, a tool. Not Rapung's gods or any god, but some fundamental truth built into the universe at a subatomic level. In his galaxy, the Force was the servant of that truth. Wherever the Yuuzhan Vong were from, some other manifestation must prevail. But light remained light, and dark, dark. And whatever happened to the Yuuzhan Vong, they had turned to the dark side long ago. That didn't make them all evil, but it made them worth opposing. Without anger or hatred, they had to be stopped, and Anakin Solo would never turn his eyes from that. With a sudden surge of confidence, he reached for the parts of his lightsaber in the Force, and then pressed deeper. And in a flash of epiphany, he had it. The link between the rest of his lightsaber and the lambent was Anakin Solo. It was in him the changes had to happen. Power surged and crackled, and the cavern echoed with a snap hiss. And somewhere, Vua Rapung snarled. Anakin opened his eyes to the purple glow of his lightsaber. "I am Jedi again," he said quietly. Perhaps a new kind of Jedi altogether. Meishan Quad curled her headdress in recognition at Nen Yim as she entered the laboratory.
"Detail your progress, adept," the master said.
Her tone was curt, and her tendrils suggested irritation.
"We made good progress in your absence, master," Nen Yim said. "I think with only minor genetic adjustments, the memory implants will be permanent. She resists them less than she did when last you were here." "Yes," Meishan Quad replied, anger twitching her tendrils. "Valuable days missed."
She suddenly tremored and reached her eight-fingered hand to her head.
"It is time. I must have the Var tumor removed. Yet another despicable delay."
Nen Yim gave her master a puzzled look.
"I thought that's where you've been, having the Var tumor removed."
Meishan Quad's eyes went to slits.
"What? Why did you think that?"
"You were gone for 2 cycles, master."
"Indeed. Engaged in meaningless political exercises with Master Yal Fath. I was forced into a ritual seclusion, and at a quite inconvenient time."
"But the assistant you sent said nothing of that. He did say you were having your Var tumor removed."
"What assistant?"
"Tsun. He told me you sent him. He knew things about what we do here."
"No," Meishan Quad sighed. "He guessed that we were engaged in heresy, and you confirmed it. Yal Fath now has his evidence,
thanks to you. No,
Nen Yim protested.
Oh, I'm afraid so, a voice from the doorway boomed.
Nen Yim spun to see Commander Tsak Vota standing in the doorway, an escort of his personal guard just behind him.
I'm afraid I must take both of you captive and search your chambers for evidence.
Evidence of what?
Meijan Quad snapped.
Evidence of heresy, of course, Tsak Vota replied.